Well, like a lot of adults, Anne Strangechamps rediscovered the joys of children's books when Harry Potter first came out. But unlike a lot of other adults, she didn't stop there.
For the past couple of years, I've pretty much just read children's books. I got tired of adult fiction. So many novels these days are full of unlikable characters to whom horrible things always seem to happen. I wanted to read books that made the world seem more magical, not less.
I remember buying John Updike's novel, The Centaur, and thinking, but where is the centaur? You know, I bought this book because I want to read about a fabulous mythological creature, and it's all about these academics.
Amanda Craig is one of England's best-known book reviewers. Like me, she thinks some of the best books being written today are in the kids' section, and that children's books offer pleasures that are harder and harder to come by in serious adult fiction.
Children's novels have this tremendously strong narrative drive. I mean, anybody who's ever read aloud to a child knows that you can't let their attention waver even for a second. So you've got this thing that is like a sort of G-force almost. It's got to pin that reader to the ground and make them want to read on or go on listening.
A shape formed in the air. From nothing came a cluster of sparks and the smell of sulfur. Inside the cluster, a grey-green thing appeared, with golden eyes, chunky scales, and great horned ears. It stepped out of nowhere and onto the road.
That's an excerpt from Irish writer Owen Colfer's best-selling Artemis Fowl series. Colfer's a former schoolteacher who grew up steeped in Celtic myths. He's crossed them with James Bond-style techno-thrillers in a style he calls Die Hard with Fairies. Last winter, when my friends were all reading the latest depressing literary bestseller, I was chuckling over the adventures of a bunch of heavily armed fairies and a snotty 14-year-old criminal genius.
A waiter scurried to their table. More tea, sirs? Artemis sighed. Spare me the theatrics and sit down. But, sir, I am the waiter. You're wearing handmade loafers, a silk shirt, and 3 gold signet rings. Your English has a tinge of Oxford about it, and your nails have the soft sheen of the recently manicured. You are not a waiter. You are our contact, Nguyen Xuan, and you have adopted this pathetic disguise to discreetly check for weaponry.
Of course, children's books are not all pure escapist fantasy. Some of the most beautiful also deal with subjects that are serious and painful. Catherine Patterson's Bridge to Terabithia is the story of 2 children who create an imaginary kingdom in the woods near their homes, but their fantasy ends when one of the children accidentally drowns. Patterson says it's one of the most difficult books she's ever had to write.
I stopped writing when I knew the next chapter would bring the child's death. Only way I could keep her alive was not to write. When I finally realized that it was my own death that had to be faced, I went ahead and wrote it.
Bridge to Terabithia is considered a classic now. Disney released the film version earlier this year, but when it first came out, a lot of people thought it wasn't appropriate for kids.
People would like to deny that children have deep feelings. They will say, well, he wouldn't understand. The child may not be able to articulate what he's feeling as well as some adult, but it doesn't mean that she's not feeling very deeply.
Leslie's favorite place, besides the castle stronghold, was the pine forest. There, the trees grew so thick at the top that the sunshine was veiled. No low bush or grass could grow in that dim light, so the ground was carpeted with golden needles. I used to think this place was haunted, Jess had confessed to Leslie that first afternoon he had revved up his courage to bring her there. Oh, but it is, she said. But you don't have to be scared. It's not haunted with evil things. How do you know? You can just feel it. Listen. At first, he heard only the stillness. It was the stillness that had always frightened him before. But this time, it was like the moment after Miss Edmonds finished a song, just after the chords hummed down to silence. Leslie was right. They stood there, not moving, not wanting the swish of dry needles beneath their feet to break the spell. Far away from their former world came the cry of geese heading southward.
it seems strange to me that books this beautiful aren't widely read by everyone, adults as well as kids. Instead, we create these artificial boundaries in the world of books, and then we don't cross them. Which is why adults who do rediscover children's literature often experience it as a revelation.
I picked up Philip Pullman's The Subtle Knife. I was reading it in North Oxford, and it's a book about Oxford and parallel universes in Oxford. And it was sensational because I was in bed reading this book, and the main character was walking down my street towards a parallel universe at the same time that I was reading it. And I just thought, I never ever want to work in academia again. I just want to stay in children's books. It was magical.
Matthew Skelton wound up writing his own children's book, called Endymion Spring, as a kind of homage to that experience. It's the story of a boy named Blake who stumbles on a mysterious and magical book.
Blake turned over one page and then another and another, looking for a way into the story, but he couldn't find one. There were no words to guide him, only a series of blank pages that led like a spiral staircase into the unknown. He let his mind follow them for a while, wondering where they would go, but they seemed to be leading nowhere, over and over again. He felt disappointed and yet exhilarated, too, as though he had embarked on a quest to find something. But what was he looking for, and how would he know when he found it?
My own favorite children's books are the ones like this, in which reality slips just a little sideways. A girl finds a secret garden. A wardrobe opens into another world. Personally, I can't think of a better antidote for middle age, because isn't that sense of the world's hidden mystery and magic exactly what we lose track of in the press of jobs and mortgage payments? One of my favorite writers is Holly Black. She writes punk fairy stories for children and young adults, and she told me that writing and reading children's books is her way of holding on to a certain attitude towards life.
I remember when I was a kid how much believing made me feel like the world was full of possibility. And I think that for kids to be able to think that, you know, the woods are teeming with these creatures, it suggests a world of possibility. And I think that that's an extremely hopeful and wonderfully creative way of looking at the world.
So next time your life seems short on hope and long on drudgery, pick up a children's book. Remember what it was like when animals talked and trees walked and an 11-year-old could save the world.
Anne's Strange Champs on Kids Lit Today. For Anne's list of children's books every adult should read, go to our website at ttbook.org/greatbooks.